From the studios of WEKU on the campus of Eastern Kentucky University, this is Eastern Standard. Hello, I'm John Hingsbergen. And with me today, a number of guests as we conduct a reporter's roundtable, something that we would like to do more regularly here on the program. See if we can get this thing rolling and have an interesting conversation today, talk about some of the news of the day, international, national, local, regional news. What's on your mind as well? That is what we ask you, the listeners. What stories have you heard too much of? What stories have you not heard enough on, at least on public radio, on WEKU and on other media? And we have with us some representatives of other media to be part of today's program. And I am pleased to welcome first up Bill Bryant. Bill is managing editor of WKYT-TV, where he anchors the morning and noon newscast. Additionally, he is the host of Kentucky Newsmakers on WKYT and Comment on Kentucky on KET. Bill is an EKU graduate, and Bill is on the line with us from the TV station. Bill, I guess you have a newscast at noon, so you have to leave early before we end the show today.
Well, it's good to be with you, and you're right. We're always on deadline here, and that is the case this morning.
And, of course, you've been on duty since what, 4 o'clock in the morning?
4 o'clock, yeah. And I was talking with the station before that this morning about our sort of budget for what we would be covering this morning. So it's been a busy day, as most of them are.
Excellent. Well, Bill Bryant, thank you for being with us. Also on the line is Jack Brammer, Frankfurt Bureau Chief for the Lexington Herald Leader. Jack writes a mix of daily and enterprise stories that explain how the actions of state government impact the lives of Kentuckians. Jack, thanks for being with us.
Good morning, John. Glad to be with you.
And by Skype today, we have with us Jeff Vanderbeck, publisher of the Appalachian News Express, a newspaper based in Pikeville, serving Pike County at the far eastern end of Kentucky. And Jeff, I think we've overcome or conquered the technology, and we've got Skype working. Are you there?
I am actually here.
Excellent.
And yes, it's nice to overcome those things.
Exactly. That's if nothing else, we can overcome the technology. Well, again, listeners, we encourage you to send us your questions, your comments, your stories for our guest, WEKU Eastern Standard at gmail.com. You can send us a tweet at WEKU EST, post on the WEKU Facebook page. And best of all, call 800-621-8890 to be part of today's conversation. We won't be getting to phones for a little while, but we do want to see if we can get some calls on the air before we have to lose Bill Bryant around 11:30 or a little bit thereafter. Folks, in the news today, I was looking at the Associated Press. Look, first of all, at the national and international news. I mean, we've got a lot going on overseas. The U.S. ambassador to Lebanon says Washington will soon deliver additional weaponry to help bolster the Lebanese military as it faces a growing threat from militants in Syria. A spokeswoman for the International Red Cross says talks between that organization, Ukraine, and Russia over the destination of a Russian aid convoy continue. In the U.S., police in riot gear and protesters throwing rocks and Molotov cocktails haven't left a lot of room for dialogue about the killing of an unarmed black teen by a white officer in Ferguson, Missouri. And let's see, more people applied for U.S. unemployment benefits last week, although jobless claims continue to be close to pre-recession levels. And in the Commonwealth of Kentucky, schools are starting. Ark Park, the Noah's Ark Park, that is soon to be under construction in northern Kentucky, is receiving state funding. There are issues about the state budget. We've heard reports on this year's state budget. And, of course, the issue of same-sex marriage is before the courts, before a federal district court in Cincinnati. Oral arguments were heard last week, and folks in Kentucky and other states are awaiting a decision on that. So a lot of things going on in the news, and maybe what we should do is start right here in the Commonwealth with the state capital, state government issues, and maybe we'll start with Jack Brammer regarding the state budget. What is the status of the state budget? We heard positive news this week, is that correct?
We did. The new fiscal year for the Kentucky government started July 1, and it showed a surplus or more money received this July than there was the previous July of course July 2013, and this was good news because the fiscal year had ended June 30th with a $91 million shortfall. And the governor had to do some raid of some state agencies. He raided the state rainy day fund or emergency to balance the budget. The Kentucky Constitution requires a balanced budget. So he was able to end the fiscal year with a balanced budget. And a lot of people were wondering, well, what would the first month show? You really can't take 1 month and say that's going to be a trend, but it did start out positively that there was a gain over last year. It was about a 2% increase. And so the idea is to keep that receipts growing every month. So this fiscal year, which ends June 30th of 2015, will end with hopefully a surplus, but the experts like it to be within the predictions and keep it balanced.
Am I correct that last year at this time, did we not hear a similar positive report?
We usually do. July is usually a good month because you have a lot of the receipts that come in, basically the individual income tax, and you get that. And then usually through the winter, early spring, you kind of see a drop in revenue receipts. But, of course, this is better than being at a shortfall. So there's a bit of optimism now about the budget. Of course, the legislators will reconvene in January. We now have annual sessions, as you know, in Kentucky. And if there is a major problem or the budget is not living up to expectations, they can make adjustments at that time.
Let's ask Bill Bryant in Lexington at WKYT-TV. To what extent do TV news viewers care about state government and the state budget? I mean, Lexington's not all that far from the state capital, but for instance, in local news coverage, is that something of concern as managing editor yourself and in terms of the news that you cover? Is that something your viewers are concerned
about? Well, you know, it is one of those things that I think sometimes there is that need to know, whether it comes into the want to know category or not. Obviously, you know, television news today, a lot of attention is paid to breaking stories, things that are immediately impacting your life, whether that be weather, a traffic situation, a crime spree, fires, that kind of thing. And we do a lot of that. But particularly here at WKYT, we have seen it our long-term mission to keep people engaged as well in what's going on in state government. And it is up to us to demonstrate to them how it does affect them. How it does affect their pocketbooks. For instance, this revenue situation is going to play out in next year's governor's race, I think, because it is going to be an issue in talking about ways of getting the streams of revenue stabilized in the state government. This tax system that we have was devised in the 1950s and 1960s when people were buying typewriters and televisions for the first time and acquiring things for the home that were newly available. And it was more of a consumption tax. And these days, you know, people have moved over to services. And so there's always been a question in the last 20 years or so, do we go there for a more stable source of revenue? Do you make it more elastic so that it grows with the economy? And that's kind of what was presented by Lieutenant Governor Jerry Abramson's Blue Ribbon Commission, and as well the Republican candidates for governor already who are out there, Hal Heiner, and James Comer, who announced that he will announce next month, both saying that, you know, they're going to talk about ways to try to change the state tax code. They don't want to immediately, they say, bring in extra revenue at once. They think that's the key to passing it, that it not be tax increases, but that over time it would grow with the economy. To answer your question, yes, it is important, and we feel that it's our duty to explain to people why it's important.
Absolutely. Okay. Let's talk to Pikeville. We have Jeff Vanderbeck talking about geography and being close to the state capital. You're about as far away, I guess, as anyone can be and still be in the Commonwealth. How do folks in your region look to state government and their concerns about the state budget and matters of that type?
Well, there's two words that basically describe how people feel in this area about the state. You know, we feel left out. And as you could tell by my accent, I am not an Eastern Kentuckian. I have been transplanted here. I've been here 14 years, and I'm hoping within the next 14 years I'll be able to be a local person. But as far as the folks in Eastern Kentucky are concerned, you know, they feel left out. Everything happens in Lexington, Louisville, Bowling Green, those areas. And the last, Leslie Combs, our state representative, and Ray Jones, our state senator, have been very, along with Hal Rogers and Governor Beshear, part of our SOAR initiative, said that we're going to increase the or widen the Mountain Parkway, and there's money put aside for the budget for the Mountain Parkway, which is the pipeline from Eastern Kentucky to Lexington, to the central part of the state, to where everything else is going. And I think that's going to be a huge asset to this area. You know, we've been a victim of our own coal severance tax, if you will, for many years. And did I lose connection?
No, you're good. You're great.
Okay, we've been a victim of coal severance tax for many years. And in some instances, we've been our own worst enemy of coal severance. The rest of the state reaps the benefit of coal severance tax because it gets distributed equally. And part of the biggest things that we've been complaining about is that, you know, there's no horse tax that we get the benefit of. There's no bourbon tax that we get the benefit of, but all the rest of the state gets the benefit of the coal severance tax. And that's always been a big thing. So Eastern Kentucky does feel left out. And what we're looking for in the state budget is, you know, what are our legislators, our leaders, our governor, what are they going to do for Eastern Kentucky? You know, the coal mining jobs are going way faster than, you know, you could shake a stick at, and those are big issues. And then we come into this Senate race that Bill and Jack had both alluded to. You know, this is going to be a huge thing, and we are trying to pin down both candidates to find out exactly what their game plan is and how they're going to help this community and the folks in Eastern Kentucky, so we don't feel left out. So we are included into the state. And for years and years and years, this area has been, like I said, felt left out.
All right.
And there's plenty of opportunity.
We're needing to take a short break here, Jeff. We're going to get back to you, of course, and we want to continue to talk about issues in Eastern Kentucky, Central, Southeastern Kentucky, the state of Kentucky in general, the state capital. We have with us Jeff Vanderbeck, who is the publisher of the Appalachian News Express. We have Jack Brammer of the Lexington Herald Leader and Bill Bryant of WKYT-TV on this week's Eastern Standard Reporters Roundtable. We're interested in hearing from you, your questions, your comments, your stories for this week's show. 800-621-8890. This is Eastern Standard on the WEKU stations. I'm John Hingsbergen with our guests, Bill Bryant, Jack Brammer, and Jeff Vanderbeck, a Reporters Roundtable this week. And we started talking about the state government and the state budget. And actually, Jeff Vanderbeck, let me just pick up with one question I wanted to pose for you. As you were talking and you referred to SOAR, which has been a big, big deal for folks in Eastern and Southeastern Kentucky. You talked about the highway, the parkway, and so forth. What about all the conversation that Congressman Rogers and the governor have raised regarding the information highway, regarding broadband and internet access? Is that a concern to people in the region?
Well, absolutely. It's internet access in this mountainous terrain in the eastern part of the state. In some areas is absolutely horrendous. People still have dial-up. Some people don't even have the ability for that. And in order for us to attract large businesses, we need a good internet infrastructure. We have a good base, but the SOAR initiative pledged, I think, $100 million over the next several years for internet infrastructure, high-speed internet, broadband, so on and so forth. That would be a godsend to this community and to this region. The technology is here. The workforce is here. You know, we've got several thousand miners out of business who are looking for work. We've got community leaders. Donovan Blackburn, city manager of Pikeville, has teamed up with Altec and has made huge announcements. They're going to put a distillery and a brewery downtown Pikeville. It's going to create some jobs. In the meantime, there was an industrial park that Donovan Blackburn, you know, has been working on for the 12 or 13 years that I know of. And he just landed Alltech to do a fishery in there and a chicken farm with eggs and several other main manufacturing type of plants are coming in here. Their main question was is that we need high-speed internet, we need good infrastructure, we need water, we need sewage, and so on. So Donovan Blackburn with the City Commission has been working, and with Leslie Combs and Ray Jones and W. Keith Hall has been working diligently to try to get that done, and he's done that, and now we need that high-speed internet.
Okay.
The University of Pikeville is also embarking on a program that we're going to unveil in the next couple of months regarding how they're going to be part of this high-speed internet process as well. But yes, it's desperately needed.
We're going to be keeping an eye on that and, of course, staying in communication with you and others in the community. Jeff Vanderbeck is in Pikeville. And we also have with us on the line for today's program Bill Bryant at WKYT-TV and Jack Brammer of the Lexington Herald Leader. We want to make sure we get Bill Bryant on a little bit more because he's on limited time schedule. He has to go do a TV newscast. So when you're done watching Eastern Standard or listening to Eastern Standard, you can see the guy we were just talking to here on the TV. But we did get an email that I want to toss out there. Maybe Bill Bryant can respond to this. Question for the roundtable. I notice most political reporters in the state are older white males. I understand this is related to time in the field and experience in a good old boy political system. Do the reporters present think bias affects coverage of the Senate race where one candidate is younger and female? What should be done to counter bias in political reporting? And by way of full disclosure, you're talking to a panel. Let's see. I'm an older white male. guilty as charged so far. Bill Bryant, your reaction to that comment? I'm sure you hear that elsewhere.
Well, you do, and as one who has recently been filling the panel for a comment on Kentucky on KET, we face this as a challenge, certainly in trying to get a variety of voices, and I can assure you that we work diligently to try to do that. You are right in that many of the experienced reporters in the state, and particularly who cover state government and politics, are just as you've described. We do have some good exceptions to that and people who've had time in the field. We've had others who have previously been available to us who have now moved over, for instance, women who have moved into management roles or in other positions where they're not as readily available on the front lines of journalism as they had been in the past. Laura Cullen Glasscock is the publisher of the Kentucky Gazette out of Frankfort. She'll be appearing on KET this weekend, covers state government and issues there. We certainly make that attempt. But there is no question that, Jack would agree that is the predominant population within the current Capitol Press Corps.
And let me also, Bill, mention that we extended an invitation for this program to our friend and colleague Renee Shaw, who had other commitments and conflicts for today's program. And we also invited WEKU News Director Joanice Franklin, who has just been in the job for about three weeks or 4 weeks.
And who are both wonderful examples of broadcasters in Kentucky who are, rising through the ranks and do a terrific job. I worked with Renee when we did the show down at Fancy Farm, and she is just terrific behind the scenes and on air, and did the terrific coverage. And I understand Joanice is off to a great start there at WEKU as news director.
We're hoping you're going to get a chance to get to meet Joanice. She's going to be very visible, present, and active in the community as she gets her footing here in a very small newsroom operation. But we do appreciate that comment from Ray. Let me pass along here. This is a question or a comment that came in by means of the WEKU website. I'm going to toss this to Jack Brammer. What kind of traction is Elizabeth Jensen getting in her effort to defeat Andy Barr in 6th District? Will she be able to avoid a slugfest about coal politics like we had between Chandler and Barr and focus on issues that are more relevant to our district?
Well, Jensen is showing herself to be an able campaigner. She's working very hard. She has an uphill struggle, and it's always tough to go against an incumbent, especially one who's well-heeled like Andy Barr. I think Jensen is hoping that Allison Lindegan Grimes, the Democratic nominee in the U.S. Senate race running against Republican incumbent Mitch McConnell, does very well in central Kentucky. and she could gain some of that support that goes to Grimes would fall over to her, get a large number of Democrats out to the polls. So I think that's what she's hoping for. What was the second question, John?
Let's see. Let me go back to it here. How will she be able, will Jensen be able to avoid the slugfest about coal politics like that was had between Chandler and Barr?
Bill, I haven't seen that emerged yet in this race, the issue of coal. Republican strategy of candidates overall in Kentucky seem to be painting their Democratic opponents being tied with President Obama, who's highly unpopular in the state, but I haven't seen the issue of coal emerge as strongly as it did in Barr's last race 2 years ago against the Democratic incumbent, Ben Chandler.
And Jack, you mentioned President Obama and the coal policy, environmental issues, and so forth. I'll toss this out to all three of you, and feel free, folks, to chime in here. To what extent do you see the Democrats in Kentucky, a pretty red state, running away from or trying to avoid a connection to the Obama administration?
Well, I'll take that first quickly.
Sure,
you know, there is no doubt a coal jobs versus emission standards debate that is raging. Kentucky Democrats bucking the Obama administration's call for those stricter emission standards, saying that it would wreck the state's economy and is costing us jobs, and has been mentioned here a little bit ago by Jeff. Certainly we know that those jobs are being lost out in the eastern Kentucky coal fields. There are about 20 Democratic-leaning counties that went for, normally Democratic-leaning counties, that went for Republican Mitt Romney in 2012. And Jack, you and I have been talking. That is kind of a targeted area where many think that the Senate race could be won or lost.
Definitely. I thought it was interesting, Grimes last week, when President Clinton accompanied her to Hazard and at a rally in Lexington before the Hazard event, Grimes kept saying, "I'm a Clinton Democrat,"
yes,
which is a good thing for her to say. Bill, we know we would never hear Grimes say, "I'm an Obama Democrat," not in this race at all.
Right.
So she is trying to paint herself more with Clinton, who's popular in the state, and as we mentioned, Obama's unpopularity, especially in the coal fields.
And Jeff, in the coal fields in Pikeville?
I think people are just fed up with, they don't disassociate or understand the difference between a Clinton Democrat or an Obama Democrat. They're just fed up with the Democrats because they look at the whole side that way. Now, that being said and done, I don't want letters from all the Democrats saying how obnoxious that is, but there's a truth there. There are people who are Democrats who are going to vote Republican, and people who are Republican who will vote Democrat for whatever reason. But I'll tell you this, the bottom line is what we're hearing from the two candidates, and I will put a little plug in here. We have offered both candidates an opportunity to meet and debate in Pikeville, the heart of coal country. They both claim, both candidates claim that they are against the war on coal. They both claim that they are for the coal industry. They both claim all these things to do with coal, and no better place to have a debate about coal than in Eastern Kentucky and in Pikeville, which is one of the regions most hit hardly. One of the things that they're talking about, or the biggest criticisms are, is that the Mitch McConnell is too little too late. He just started this anti-war, anti-coal war, you know, 6, 8, 9 months ago when he started his re-campaign efforts. So where was he the last 25 years? And as far as the Grimes camp is concerned, what they're talking about candidate Grimes is, you know, the day after Obama comes out on Monday and talks about his new EPA regulations that take effect, she says, "I'm going to stand up to Washington, stand up to the Democrats in Washington to help Eastern Kentucky," but she's out campaigning with Harry Reid in Los Angeles and in California and Colorado, collecting all that money from those third parties. So the question is she going to be a puppet for the Democrats, or is she going to be a working person for Eastern Kentucky? Is Mitch McConnell going to worry about more international stuff than what's going to happen about in Eastern Kentucky? And what I in my column that I write weekly, I said the bottom line is that Obama and Reid just don't like McConnell, and they want him out of office. The problem is that if you get McConnell out of office, there's not going to be any balance in the right to the left. And if you put Grimes in that position, is that going to be an opportunity for the Democrats to completely take over, not only in policies, but everything that's going on in not only East Kentucky, but this country as a whole?
Jeff, let me get quickly. So, and I would like to get a quick assessment there. Then I'm going to get Bill Bryant on because I know he's going to have to leave here in a moment. Do you feel, as the national media seem to feel, that, and we're constantly hearing reports about, you know, this is the run, you know, of the race of his life for McConnell. This is the most highly contested race he's been in. Do you feel like there is a possibility that McConnell could be defeated?
Well, we'll see about that. It is obviously a race. There's been no poll that has shown it to be more than just a very small margin, and sometimes and mostly it's been within the margin of error. Do we know this is a national race? Yes. Here is why. I think Jack or the Bluegrass Politics site just a little bit ago tweeted that the fact that roughly three-quarters of the money coming into the campaigns of each of these candidates is coming from out of state. Now, that is alongside all of the money that is coming in from these interest groups that do not have to report a lot about where their money is coming from, and it's a safe assumption that much of that is coming from out of state. So there is a lot of out-of-state influence on this election. It is a race that's being watched nationally, being funded nationally, and because of, as was mentioned there by Jeff, the control of the Senate being up for a question, that's the reason that this is such a very carefully watched race all around the nation. Will McConnell go down in defeat? Will, again, time will tell. He has been down before in the polls and certainly is an aggressive campaigner who finds a way to win.
Okay, Bill Bryant, thank you. We know you need to go. We know you need to get on the TV and deliver some news in a few minutes. We hope to do this again and have you be participate in our program for in future Reporters Roundtable and other conversations here.
Well, I appreciate that. It's a delight, and you have a good discussion underway.
Excellent.
And great listeners.
Thank you, Bill. And again, we'll talk to you soon. Take care.
Yes, sir.
All right, let's continue. We do still have with us Jack Brammer of the Lexington Herald Leader and Jeff Vanderbeck of the Appalachian News Express. Am I saying that correctly?
Yeah, that's correct. And if I can interject on that last comment.
Sure, Jeff.
And the coffee tables around Eastern Kentucky, what people are saying is that we would trade one Mitch McConnell for an Obama and a Harry Reid. So if that's any consolation, that's the direction that the politics are going in this area. It's not necessarily that they don't want to see Alison Grimes in. It's not necessarily that they want to see Mitch McConnell in, but they feel that, you know, Harry Reid and President Obama just are not good for Eastern Kentucky, the coal fields, the coal minings. And it's apparent because all these EPA regulations are going on in Kentucky, but in his home state of Illinois and Harry Reid's home state, the mining is still being done, and it's being done responsibly. It's being done there, and there's no people aren't losing jobs in those states, but they're losing jobs in Kentucky, and we feel like Kentucky's being punished because Mitch McConnell is essentially a thorn in the side of Harry Reid and President Obama. But again, if it wasn't for McConnell being a thorn, how much more stuff would the Democrats have gotten away with? And those are just political joggering, if you will, of where or posturing of the coffee shop talk that I hear in my daily job.
Very interesting. While we talk about the intersection of federal and state politics, let's talk about Connect, the state's healthcare exchange, and its relationship to the Affordable Care Act, Obamacare. The Connect program has been widely touted as having being successful in Kentucky. How do you all feel, the two of you? We have Jeff and Jack. Let me get to Jack here in terms of the where that fits into the political picture. Governor Beshear is being pulled out frequently as a poster boy, I guess, for Obamacare.
Very much. Governor Beshear signed on to it July of last year, and we just heard a report earlier this month that the percentage of adults without health insurance in Kentucky has dropped to less than 12%. It had been as high as 20%. And that was the second largest decline among states since the Federal Affordable Care Act, also known as Obamacare, took effect in January. Only Arkansas saw a bigger decrease in the number of its uninsured. So you have a lot of people who have signed on to Connect, a lot of people who've had health insurance for the first time. I know there's still talk among some Republicans to repeal Obamacare. Personally, I think that's going to be difficult. The horse has already left the barn. There need to be some changes to it, but I think the idea of the Affordable Care Act will be around for a long time. I understand when Social Security and Medicare, especially Medicare, took effect in the 1960s, that there was a lot of opposition to that, and try to get rid of that today, and would just think of the fight that would be on your hands. So Bashir has benefited from the program doing fairly well in Kentucky. And when Kentuckians are polled about this, if they ask what they think about Connect, it's usually a positive. If you ask them about Obamacare and put the president's name in there, then it doesn't get the high rating.
Sounds like polls we've heard on the national level that ask about the Affordable Care Act versus Obamacare. We're going to take another short break here. We have with us on the line Jack Brammer, Franklin Bureau Chief for the Lexington Herald Leader. And in Pikeville, we have Jeff Vanderbeck, publisher of the Appalachian News Express. Eastern Standard continues for another 20 minutes or so. And we have lines open. We'd love to hear from our listeners. We've had a couple of emails and a couple of posts actually on our website. We're keeping an eye on all of these various means of communication. We invite you to get on the line at 800-621-8890. This is Eastern Standard on the WEKU stations. A reporter's roundtable. We have with us Jack Brammer of the Lexington Herald Leader, Franklin Bureau Chief, keeping an eye on state politics for us from the perspective of the state capitol. And way down in Pikeville from the point of view of those of us in Lexington and the central Kentucky region, but very much part of the WEKU radio family, is Jeff Vanderbeck in Pikeville with the Appalachian News Express. We do want to remind our listeners, we have lines open. We're interested in hearing from you, your comments about anything we've heard. What news stories have you heard too much of? What stories are you not hearing enough of from local, regional, and even national media? 800-621-8890 is our phone number. Please feel free to get on the line. We'd be glad to hear your question or your comment. We did have a comment by email from Dave in London, Kentucky. And Dave says news media talk too much about race and racial division and not enough about human race. This only fuels racial tension. Thank you, Dave, for that comment. I don't know if Jeff or Jack have a comment or a reaction to Dave's comment there.
I think race is news, and news is anything out of the ordinary. We're seeing that this week in St. Louis with the shooting of that young man, and it is a prime story, and I think the media will keep reporting that. It's an important story. I like to think what the listener said about the human relations. We deal with that, but I don't think we can ignore race, and especially some of the problems that we see involving race.
Is race an issue in Pikeville in southeastern Kentucky?
You know, race is an issue everywhere you go. I don't care, you know, what part of the world you're in, race is an issue. If you look what's happening in the Middle East right now, Christians are being persecuted by that group. And, you know, my question is, where's the Christian outcry there? You don't see that. You know, what happened in Ferguson, Missouri last week is a tragedy. And every time, you know, anybody gets shot, white, black, whatever, anytime anybody gets shot, it's tragedy. And it's 100% avoidable. You had up in New York City not too long ago, four white cops took a 300 and some odd pound black man down, put him in a chokehold, who had 20 different violations and was selling stuff. And all they wanted them to do was comply, and he didn't comply. So they put him in a chokehold, and the guy lost his life. race riots are going to start there. Race riots are going to start everywhere. And then you got Al Sharpton down in Ferguson, Missouri right now. And, you know, what they're talking about is banding and uniting together. And we need to stop banding and united racial incidents. I'm a white male. And do I think what happened in Ferguson, Missouri is a good thing for white people or black people? No, I think I don't care what color a person's skin is. That is a travesty. We don't know the full details of what happened. Passing judgment is not going to work out. The officer who shot this kid is already getting death threats, or they're threatening to kill him when they find out what he is. And I saw a comment not too long ago. The white kid goes into the Colorado movie theater, and he shoots up a bunch of people, and he gets a ride to the police station in the back of the police car. This black kid in Ferguson, Missouri, who knows what he was doing, didn't comply, may or may not have complied. He got shot and killed, and there's conflicting stories everywhere. We won't know the truth, just like in the Trayvon Martin case. Is it outrageous? Yes, it's outrageous. It needs to stop. And what needs to happen is we as a country, we as a community need to band together as one community, not a white community, not a black community, not a Jewish or an Italian community. We need to band together as a community of American citizens who are trying to further the cause of the American way. And if people don't want to be imposed on our cause in Iraq or Syria, great. They need to not pay attention with that. And they don't want, if they don't like us, they don't have to come here. They don't have to come to this country. But we as a country, we as a society, the American population, need to hold our brothers and sisters' hands and say, we need to stop and band together. We have so many issues, and we're at such a cusp of a breaking point. And if we don't unite together, we're going to divide and hurt ourselves further than we are. It's bad enough the politicians are doing it to us. It's bad enough taxes are bringing us down. It's bad enough we don't have jobs. It's bad enough all this stuff is happening in our country. But if we don't band together as one entire colorless community or raceless community, we're headed for deep trouble.
Okay, this is Jeff Vanderbeck of the Appalachian News Express speaking to us from Pikeville this morning. We also have with us Jack Brammer of the Lexington Herald Leader, Frankfurt Bureau Chief. This is Eastern Standard. Phone lines open, 800-621-8890. Comment, question, story that you'd like to tell as part of our Reporters Roundtable. Talk about journalism, talk about news coverage, things you're hearing about, things you want to hear more about. What is the news? What are stations, even WEKU, public broadcast? Local TV, newspapers not covering that you want to hear more about, 800-621-8890. Now, Jeff and Jack, neither of you covers Lexington as such, but as we talk about this issue of race, I mean, there have been some issues about violence and concern, violence in Lexington, about a very high number of shootings just this year, and I don't have the exact figures in front of me. But any observations on that, and then the community pulling together, trying to find ways to create a more, as Jeff is talking about, get together, hold hands, and come together to solve these issues. Jack, do you have any observations on that situation?
Well, to echo what Jeff was saying, you know, any loss of life, you know, is a tragedy in these situations. And I know... I live more closely to Jefferson County. I live over in Shelby County, and it seems like the west end of Louisville, predominantly African-American neighborhood, there are many shootings there and the deaths. But the news is bigger for some reason. If it occurs in the east end of the county, in the white district, you get more play about that. It is a serious problem. That's why we say we focus on race a great deal. There are a lot of good people, a lot of activists that are trying to deal with this problem. I go back to the importance of education to solve a lot of society's woes. And I think the more we can do about education, help people get established, then that's really the way to go. Besides the shootings, we have another big race issue, especially in central Kentucky and in Shelby County where I live, is the growing Hispanic population. And those workers are very important to a lot of businesses, especially the farming community. And so I think it's important the media keep reporting on how they're being treated, how they are progressing. And so the media can keep an eye on that, but I think the solution is education, and to be sure that, and then with education, you're more likely to find a job and not have idle time and doing something productive. So it's something that you just can't snap your finger and the problem is solved. It's something that's going to take a lot of work, and it will take years to do that, maybe even generations.
This is Eastern Standard, 800-621-8890, our number. Feel free to get on board and interact with our guests, Jeff Vanderbeck and Jack Brammer. Jeff, go right ahead.
I want to know, Jack hit the nail on the head. Education is the key. Education and inclusion. I believe firmly that, you know, if people are included and can be part of a productive society and do things to make themselves feel productive and make themselves feel good about themselves and make themselves feel good about their community, regardless of what color they are, what race they are, what religion they are, you know, it can happen. It goes back to education. You know, years and years ago when we had the segregation where one set of people drank out of one water fountain and one set of people drank out of another water fountain, you know, that's barbaric. We don't need that kind of separation. And you know, people, there should be more radio because it's colorless. You don't know what the color of the person is that you're talking to, but you can have an educated discussion with a person and have them included in this, just like we're doing right now, and include the three of us and four of us with Bill and talk about solving problems. And we'd solve problems about, you know, Connect and the state budget without having to talk about racial segregation. And I think when we start separating races and not having inclusion and not having enough jobs and, you know, white, black, or indifferent, you know, there's no jobs, there's no education, and people feel left out, they're going to get into things they don't need to be getting into.
Okay.
I don't care who they are.
All right. Jeff, we've got one of your neighbors, or a caller on the line from Pikeville. This is Waylon from Pikeville. Waylon, thanks for being part of the show. Go right ahead. You're on with Jeff Vanderbeck and Jack Brammer.
How you doing, John?
Doing great.
My comment is just, it's basically about some of the news stories that are local to the Pikeville area in eastern Kentucky. I've noticed that a lot of the stories that are even printed in the Appalachian News Express are very progressive stories. And as we all know, with the issues with the coal industry in eastern Kentucky, that's detrimental to our economy. But we also need those progressive stories and stories about economic development to secure the future of eastern Kentucky.
When you say progressive, Waylon, what do you mean? More liberal, from a liberal point of view?
Not as far as liberal necessarily. Just about progressing economically, covering things such as SOAR and things like that.
So you're seeing that as a positive.
Yeah,
you're not criticizing that.
No, we need those things, you know, as well as stories on the industry and as far as the coal industry, but. More stories about how that we're going to progress into the future and develop economically with other things that are going on.
Mr. Publisher of the Appalachian News Express?
Well, you know, I couldn't agree more. I was talking with our editor, Russ Cassidy, the other day, and our news editor, Chris Anderson, and, you know, on my front page was depressing. I had murder and drugs and a mother who charged on something, and Jack, you know this stuff. It's depressing sometimes when you look at the front page and you proof it, and all you see is murder, murder, murder. And I'm like, Russ, can't we find something positive? You know, our city manager, Donovan Blackburn, just came back from Ireland. He went over there to talk to the folks at Alltech to find out what they're doing. He is encouraging them to partner up with our city because, according to the Alltech folks, our city and their city, there's a lot of similarities. You know, what a great, wonderful thing that we're going to be able to produce. I told Russ, get on this thing. Let's talk about that. Let's talk about the positive things that are being progressive in this community. Let's talk about the positive things that are happening. We've got a huge shopping mall that's going in. We've got all these jobs that I alluded to that Donovan Blackburn was fortunate enough and progressively thinking enough to be able to see the future and get these things with his city commission behind him and the mayor behind him to get these things done. And you know what? We love to publish those kind of things and talk about the great things because it gives, like we talked about the racial thing, it gives hope because we have drugs and murder and mayhem. And, you know, I get sick and tired of reporting on that, but you can't shy away from those things. And when you talk about, hey, we're going to create almost 700 new jobs in the city of Pikeville within the next 24 months, there are people chomping at the bit saying, show us where, show us how to get those jobs. When are they going to start opening up? How can we apply for those jobs? What's happening? We got Hobby Lobby coming in. We've got Marshalls and Chick-fil-A, and the university is now having an optometry school that they're going to break ground for. There's going to be 7 to almost 1,000 jobs coming here, and we're reporting on those things. And I've got reporters that are glued to those decision makers to the point where we are stalking them almost because we want more of that positive information. So Waylon, thanks for that call. Keep reading the News Express, and I promise you, when good news breaks, we'll fix it and we'll report it for you.
All right, let's move on. Thank you, Waylon, for that call. Let us move on to a call from the Lexington area, moving back up to the Central Kentucky region. Brendan is on the line. Go right ahead, Brendan.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I'm new to the area, and we have children in the schools here in Fayette County. And, you know, you were talking about education and how different demographics play into determining who succeeds and who doesn't. But one of the observations I have as a newcomer is it's been very challenging for us to, I'll just say, integrate into our neighborhood because they bus children from our neighborhood to different schools around the county. And it's hard to even feel like you have a neighborhood community feeling with the way education's handled here.
All right. Jack?
Brendan, I am not familiar with the busing situation in Fayette County. I've said I lived in Shelby County, and I'm familiar with Jefferson County, and I know that's been a problem there. They were talking last night, they were glad that the last child on the first day of school got home from a bus at 6:25, and that seems to me like a very long day, especially for an elementary child not to
I wholeheartedly
to,
you know. Agree, which is what we've made the decision at this point to homeschool to avoid that problem. But how can it be perceived that that is a good thing for a community?
I share your sentiments that is a problem. As I said, I'm not that versed in it, but I don't know, have had a chance to talk to the superintendent or a school board member who represents your area and, you know, to voice your concerns.
All right, Brendan, you bring up a good issue. Too bad we don't still have Bill Bryant on the line, but we are glad to get that issue out there for our listeners. Thanks for being part of this week's Eastern Standard. And we've got just a couple of minutes remaining with Jeff Vanderbeck of the Appalachian News Express and Jack Brammer. Let me start quickly with Jeff, give you about 45 seconds or a minute here. What are the major issues that we're going to keep an eye on in the next few weeks and months in Eastern Kentucky?
Well, the first thing is jobs. Jobs are a huge thing, just like, you know, Jack was talking about before, is we're going to report on what's happening with the job market in this community. Second thing is this Senate race. This Senate race is absolutely huge that we're going to continue to watch. And, you know, we understand what those candidates can do for statewide stuff, which is great and fine. But frankly, the folks in Eastern Kentucky, what we're looking for is what they plan on doing for us. Nothing else is going to suffice. And all the rhetoric in the world that they can talk about is great. But until they sit down face to face with each other in Eastern Kentucky and address the folks in Eastern Kentucky, it's not going to matter. Healthcare is going to be a continuing issue because, like we talked about, the Connect thing. Yeah, people are getting insured, and that's all great and fine. But we need to make sure that people have can afford the co-pays and everything else that we got going on. And the last thing that we're going to continue to watch, among many, many, many other things, or two other things, is the education system that's going on. The University of Pikeville has been unbelievably aggressive with former Governor Paul Patton and now President Dr. James Hurley on getting more things brought to Pikeville, Eastern Kentucky, and having regional schools set up.
Okay.
And we've got our last thing is our races for our local offices. Our city commission is going to be a big one. We're watching on that.
Hey, Jeff, let me get Jack in here. Thank you, Jeff. A lot of issues on your mind, obviously. Jack, what are you keeping an eye on at the State House?
Jeff did a great job detailing major issues. I just think the next 2 years and this year are going to be so important in Kentucky politics. Jeff mentioned the U.S. Senate race. We've also got the Kentucky House of Representatives this year, where Republicans are trying to gain control. Next year, we have a governor's race, and in 2016, we have another U.S. Senate race. Rand Paul's seat will be up for election and the presidential race.
Okay, gentlemen, we are out of time. Thank you, Jack Brammer of the Lexington Herald Leader, Frankfort Bureau Chief, and Jeff Vanderbeck of the Appalachian News Express. Thanks to Richard Turner for producing this week's show. Thanks to Julie Tennell for handling the phones. I'm John Hingsbergen. Thanks for joining us for Eastern Standard on WEKU.